Well, it certainly always is a pleasure to be back at Keene Mountain. I have fond memories of Keene Mountain. God has been so good to you. Come a mighty long ways. But you didn't expect to come without paying a price, did you? Most of us know that with everything that we do, there is a price to be paid. Where's everybody that says amen?
Amen.
Woo, this corner's got it. How about the rest of you?
Amen.
All right, let's have church. We went through a terrible, terrible time. I hate it. My church is praying. And some of them's fasting for Brother Webb. We hold him very in high regard and know our need of having him at his best. So we're praying for him, that God will strengthen him. And sometimes we want to get strong, but really, according to the Bible, the prescription is, if you'll just stay weak and let his grace do the work, he will become strong. And when he gets strong, something's really good's going to happen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to just say thank you for the accommodations. Thank you for the good food today. My, that was good, and I enjoyed it so much. I'm glad to have my wife with me. She doesn't get to go on all the trips and excursions, but when I said Keene Mountain, she raised her hand and volunteered. So she's here as a volunteer to keep me straight, and that's a big job. We appreciate all the kindness that you've shown us. A good place to stay. Probably won't say a whole lot more about it, but I do mean it from the depths of my heart, and so does my wife. Thank you for your kindness. Turn with me to the book of Kings, 1 Kings. Chapter 18 and verse 21. Old familiar verse. Of course, it's old. The familiar part is whether you read diligently or not. Amen.
Wow.
Have it? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I feel like Elijah. And the people answered him not a word. Two things are missing in Pentecost. You know what they are? Dancers. We don't have as many as we used to have. And shouters. That's two different groups of people. Dancers do it with their feet. Shouters do it with their mouth. If you're not a dancer like me, join the club. Be a shouter.
Yeah.
You know what a shouter does, don't you?
Yeah.
A shouter agrees with the word, waits for the opportune time, and shouts, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Or sometimes, like years ago at a meeting that I was in somewhere in the United States, a young guy was preaching, and he was saying, man, I feel this. He had preached a little bit more and said, man, I feel this. He preached a little more and said, man, I feel this. And finally, one old preacher sitting over where Robert was like that, he stood up and said, then preach it so I can feel it.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to get on board, but if the Lord does come, you will help a preacher, won't you? All right, I want to preach to you tonight on the fire and the rain. The fire and the rain. First thing I want to do is direct your attention to the conduct of Elijah. What a person. What an example. What a person. It always mystifies me what goes on in the head of a man like Elijah. But on that day, he is an example, a tremendous example to be followed. The first thing you understand is that he's there to get something done. God had told him the end result when he said, I'm ready to bring rain back. I'm going to give rain to the people. Go show yourself to Ahab and tell him it's going to rain. That was the object. The rain is the object. Between the rain and where Elijah heard it from God to where it hits the ground and starts changing Israel again. His conduct is a great example to every one of us. He came to stand between God and his people. He came to try to barter with them so that they would change in a way that God could honor them again. How many knows that sin will bring you in disregard with God? You can't have just a little sin without God changing his attitude about you. You can't do it. You may think that it doesn't matter, but it does matter to God. If God stops chastening you and you can get by with sin and never feel the rod of God, you're hurting. You're worse than the man sitting in a bar because you are on a dangerous slide, backsliding from God. If God loves you, he will rebuke you. Am I right? And he will chasten you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Two requirements that every child of God. Notice for Israel, the chastening. Because God loves Israel. Israel was backsliding day by day, further away from God. Further into the torment, that affliction that God is placing upon them. Their cattle dying, their horses dying. In fact, you'll find Ahab telling Obadiah to go to the fountainhead, see if you can find just a little bit of grass to save the horses and the mules. There was not much left in a great nation, just saving the horses and the mules. That's desperate. The king goes one way, his governor goes the other way, and then the governor meets this man called Elijah. He didn't have much to say to him. Even though he told him, said, I'm a good man. I'm on your side. I've hid prophets. I've fed them bread and water. To me, that sounds like incarceration. He put him in a cave and said, boys, you got to spend your time here. You're going to get bread and water. That sounds like a prison term, bread and water. But I guess it was better than nothing. But you can tell by Elijah speaking to him that he felt not much compassion for this governor. Because it's sort of like trying to live in two worlds. Being friends with Ahab and praying to God. Somehow, it just doesn't work. Well, Paul will straighten you out on it if you have any doubt. What fellowship hath the righteous with the unrighteous and light with darkness? And am I right? Now, think about what you're doing. We're here. We need God to move in a mighty way. We're here for a week, and we've got an opportunity to turn a church and a family around. We've got an opportunity to be a whole lot closer to God at the end of this than we are at the beginning of it. For none of us can say that we have no room to move forward. So we see in this conduct that the first thing that this man does when God speaks to him, he goes straight to Ahab. And only Ahab could give out the needed drawing to get all of Israel. When the king says, all of Israel will come. When the king says, all of the prophets, am I right? 850 of them, they all show up. They will all be there. So we needed Ahab. He didn't need Ahab for anything except for his authority to get Israel onto the board, so God could start dealing with them. So Ahab brings them together
to Mount Carmel. Everybody's read the story. You're three or four moves ahead of me already in my preaching. So wait on me. I'll catch up with you. He waits until all Israel is there. And then he asks the question, not of Ahab, but of Israel. How long halt you between two opinions or thoughts? If you know God, that God is God, then serve him. If you know Baal without a doubt is God, then serve Baal. But you cannot go back and forth. Right. 2015 is one of the worst of them all. Back and forth. One week we're on fire, the next week we don't know where we're at. We talk revival, but we don't live revival. We talk about the greatness of God, but we never let God exploit the use of us. So he is after the heart of Israel. The first thing he does is to give the challenge. He challenges Israel. All right, since you won't answer me a word, I'll tell you. Then we're going to do this. We're going to have a demonstration. If Baal can demonstrate he's God, then let Baal be God. If God can demonstrate that he is God and answers prayer, then let Jehovah be God. That was the demonstration. That was the contract. That was the stipulation. And he said to them, and put no far under. Right there, it just put no far under. Verse 23, last words, put no far under. Baal's supposed to be the sun god, so he has plenty of far. And God is a consuming fire. So there's two gods that are noted for their ability to bring fire. And there's 450 yes votes for Baal and one for God. So the odds are 850-1 that this man standing here can do what he's saying he will do, bring rain. This is only the trial. God already says, my heart is to give them rain. I want to heal their land. I want my people's heart back. But to do that, you can't share God and Baal. One's got to be put off. One's got to be put out. Am I right? Who we see here in my text, that God has challenged Israel. Vote. They answered him not a word. Then the second thing that they say to him, it is well spoken, but still no commitment. How long halt ye between two opinions? How many preachers have you seen get up here in this pulpit and preach as a, I don't like to use the word myself, they use the word classic, masterpiece. How many of you have seen preachers get up here and preach a classic and a masterpiece, and you went home saying, boy, that was well spoken. And still no commitment. So the people are still back and forth. No commitment, neither to Baal, neither to Jehovah. Back and forth. And he said, how long? We got to stop this. Get off the fence. Get on one side or the other. Take a stand. Do something. Quit this going back and forth. You can take it personal if you want to. Because I meant it to be very personal. You're not exempt from that attitude. The reason we don't have revival at Keene Mountain is simply because we can't make up our mind whether we really want it or not. How long? But the secret of it is, the rain won't come until the fire of God's approval falls. Without the fire, you're never going to get the rain. You can't have it your way. It's God's way. So God gives them an opportunity, and he lets Baal go first. He said, you go first. There's more of you than me. Take the bullock. Do what you do. Get it all ready. Just don't put no fire under it. Am I right? Don't put no fire under it. He gives them the most of the day. Hours. You give preachers hours, they'll work themselves up into a frenzy. They got to do something. They're running out of words. How many times do you call Baal? What can you say to Baal? Elijah helps him. Cry louder. Perhaps he's on a journey. You need to call him back. Maybe he's doing this. Maybe he's asleep and you need to wake him. He was so sure that Baal could answer with nothing that he mocked them. Well, I like that kind of confidence. It says, don't cast it away. It has great recompense of reward. When you've got enough faith to stand up for God, God will never embarrass you. So Elijah's mocking them until it's the evening time for sacrifice. And he said, now, boys, you've been on the altar. You've been off of the altar. You've got your blood all over your altar. There's still no fire. Nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. He said, step off the stage. There you go. Do you know what it takes for 850 people to occupy a space? That's a lot of room. The crowd was moved way back because 850 men are running and jumping, hooping and hollering, throwing knives around, cutting themselves. It's no place to be. The people are far off. So when he gets them all off the stage, he said, come on up here. Come on close. I want you to watch me. I want you to be able to see. I want you to watch me carefully. Come on up closer. It's a first step to revival. Wanting to see. Feeling a hunger enough to leave the crowd and start coming on your own up. No more than just a man. He's just a prophet. He's caused them great anguish. They know he's a man of God. For his word was, it will not rain nor dew until I call for it. And there he stood. The man who started it has now come to finish it. This is a man of God. Are y'all here? He wants them close so they can see. And then when he gets them close, the first thing he done was repair the altar of the Lord that was torn down. He has to get them close enough so they can watch him. He does build an altar, not of 10 stones, not of 11 stones, not of 15 or 20 stones. He selects 12 stones. Each one of them represents one of the tribes of Israel. He builds it back to the Lord. And he bases it on a covenant that God made with Jacob and said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel. God gave the name Israel to Jacob and his descendants. So his reminder was, go all the way back. Jehovah goes back to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Look, I am going all the way back to your father Jacob. When God said, your name is Israel, and he gave him 12 sons. Am I right? 12 tribes. Build them an altar. It's not enough just to come up here in the name of the King Mountain. If you're going to build back, you got to come scripturally. You've got to trace the roots back to its foundation. You just can't come up here and weep a tear and say, boy, I'm back. That's not being back, and you know it. We've got to come back with a determination to get it back like it was. Let's repair the altar of the Lord, but let's take it all the way back to who built the first altar and why there was 12 stones. Let's go back to where God is God, not over part of us. Let's go back to where God is God over all of us. Let's bring this division to an end. That's what he would have done. That day, he would have joined Judah and Israel back together. He would have made them realize, you need to forgive, you need to forget, you need to amend, and you need to come back wholeheartedly to God. The altar of the Lord was broken down, but he built it back. You know, this man is getting dirty, lifting stones of a broken down altar. If it's a broken down altar, they're burnt, they're dusty, they're caked with ashes. He's getting dirty, but that doesn't mean anything. He's not there to impress you with his dress or his robe. He's there to get a job done. And sometimes getting it done means you're going to have to get yourself dirty. You can't lift something that's dirty without involvement. He did not call for young men. Said, come here, I'm an old man. Will you put these? No, no. He wanted it done, and he got dirty doing it. Revival will make you. When you get involved, you're not going to be able to sit there and look like a page out of Esquire magazine, if there is an Esquire magazine anymore. You can't stand there and look pretty. And you can't stand there and look like you're styling and profiling. You're going to have to break out in a sweat. You're going to have to get down with it. You're going to have to get dirty. You're going to have to get your suit wrinkled, your dress wrinkled. You're going to have to get your hair messed up. He's working, building back. Then he went to cutting wood. More sweat. As he cut the wood, and then he put it in order. And then he got really with it, for he got the bullock by the horn and the knife, cut its throat, and here come blood. This man's standing there now with blood on him. But not only that, he starts cutting it up in pieces, which means he had to handle the innards. I'd say if you never butchered a hog, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's not the best job in the world. Am I right? So this man has went through every bit of it himself. He's not pushed off, no obligation on anyone else. He said, God has told me he wants it to rain, and I know it won't rain until the fire falls. And for the fire to fall, we've got to offer an offering to God. God has got to see our sincerity. God has got to know our hearts in it. God has got to feel by our own actions that we really want him back. You can't tell me that you want God back when you sat there looking like you was at the Dairy Mart or someplace. Move me, preacher, if you can. It's not my job to move you. It's my job to tell you, humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, in due season, God will move you. 12 stones of bullock. He wouldn't let the people straddle the fence. Get up here. Come up closer. Come on. Now, this is very important. He's got everything, and there he stands, bloody, dirty, and sweaty. And he says, there's one thing I won't do. Fetch me some water. Am I right when I assume that 4 barrels of water is a lot of water? But he did it once. That ought to have been enough to put any fire out, any tricks out. But no, he said, do it again. Am I right? Then he said, do it again. I don't only want it on the bullock, I want it on the wood. And then I forgot to mention that he dug a trench around the altar that would hold two measures of seed, pretty deep. Then he said, now boys, go back and get some more water and fill this trench up. I want it sealed off. I want this altar sealed off. I don't want any fire coming this way or that way. I don't want any fire underneath it. I want the fire to come down from God. I want you to see there is nothing up my sleeve. No tricks. I don't have to pull a trick. I don't have to mimic another preacher. I don't have to preach another preacher's message. I want God's approval. Because when the fire falls and God has approved that he's accepted our sacrifice, then the rain will come. Not until. Keene Mountain, what we need is a revival that brings God's approval back. We need God doing some things around here. The fire must come before the rain. The fire is God's way of approval. You remember Samson? Mom and dad got the promise of a son. They put that altar up and put that offering on the rock. And that angel stepped upon the rock and fire fell and got the sacrifice. And he went up in the flame. They thought he was going to die. That's one time a smart woman saved her husband a lot of anguish. Then Solomon's prayer in trying to turn a nation to keep them from drifting. He offers this prayer at this new temple. And the fire of God falls and the glory of God fills a place that the priest cannot even minister. That's the kind of approval Keene Mountain needs. Where is God? Not sung down, not beat down. Not run down, just God falling down. And then on the day of Pentecost, God approved the 120 by tongues of cloven fire. Am I right? It abode upon each of them. So there was 120 people with approval of 120 lives. Each one that was approved. There he is, right there. Look, look. Look, it's all over. Everyone, 120 of us, married to. What tears Catholic doctrine up? Mary had to have it too. We must come back to this need. Solomon was wise enough to say to God, it's not always going to be like this, so if my people was God's answer. If my people, the responsibility still waiting on the end of straddling the fence and not answering God a word. It is well spoken, but no action, no reaction. You see, here it is. If my people. That's you. If my people. Not the preacher. If my people. God is interested in the heart of his people. Israel's heart had got away from God, but God was going to bring it back. He said the same thing of this Elijah, that he would come in the days of Jesus, and he would turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the children back to the father. God's interested in the heart. If your heart's not in it, we don't have any part of you. If you can sit in that pew with no heartfelt eagerness to have God's approval on your life, you'll leave exactly the way you come. But if my people will humble themselves, if my people will pray and seek my face, then will I come and heal their land, heal their church, heal their family. Do whatever has to be done. But it starts answering the call of God if my people. It will not rain until we have turned to God with all of our heart. God will give it back. He doesn't want to keep it. He'll give it back. Let me get to Elijah's prayer. The bullock is on the altar. The water is dripping off. The trench is full. And then this prophet steps up and he goes to pray. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Why didn't the fire fall? God could have let it fall right there. Let him know you're God in Israel. It could have fell right then. It didn't. Listen again. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. It could have fell then, and Elijah would have been standing vindicated. Every act vindicated. But God didn't send the fire down to vindicate the preacher. He didn't send the fire down to vindicate himself. But notice what moved God. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned, their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. You can sit here, fill this place up till there's not room, standing room only. But if your heart is not there, it doesn't matter if you got a full house or not. He didn't vindicate himself that he was God. He didn't need to. He didn't need to vindicate his prophet. He'd already done it. But when it came to Israel and a backslidden heart, when it came to that multitude of people who had went through 3 years of hardship, God's heart was moved towards them. He knew that their greatest need was rain. But he wasn't going to give them rain without them giving them God back their heart. The fire fell. Oh, it's one of those, that's one of those things. I wish I'd have been there. Here it comes, straight out of heaven, straight down. It first burns the bullock. And listen, it's got an order of it. Listen to it. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. One. How do you keep fire under control? It's falling. And then, and the wood. And the stones. And the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they had to get close. They had to come close. That's why I said, come on up here. I want you to see every bit of it. The fire is not going to just be a demonstration. It's going to be a great act of God's mercy. I'm going to show you it's not just what you think it is. Fire has to be extremely hot to burn up a bullock. Hot to burn up the wood. But when it comes to old burnt stones, they go. And then the dust all around, but not the water in the trench. All the dust around, but not the water in the trench. It's controlled. God's in it. And then it just leaps over, fills the trench, and licks up all the water. And the people say, oh, God. Listen to what their cry is. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And then the next word that comes from Elijah is said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. When the heart comes back to God, the rain will fall. When the approval of God falls, the blessing will follow it. When God approves King Mountain again for revival, it'll affect all of us. It'll fall from heaven. It'll work on our heart. And when God gets our heart, he'll send the blessing. It'll reach out to your community. It'll reach out to your home. It'll reach out to where you never thought it could. Because when God gets ready, ain't nobody can stop him. Well, praise the Lord. I haven't got you convinced, have I? I probably won't. It's not possible to convince you when you don't want to be convinced. The God of heaven answered it by far. And then we get this scripture over in Matthew 3 and 11. John talking about Jesus coming after him. And he says these words about him. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, we sort of separated the two. We pushed the fire way off of here and said, that's not attainable anymore. Let's just have this kind of Holy Ghost where we can run and dance and hoop and holler and have a good time. Because the fire belongs to the refiner. Malachi said he'll set as a refiner. Refiner has fire. He puts it under the silver. He puts it under the gold to make it pure. Oh, put you that! I don't want that. I really don't want you to change my heart. I want the Holy Ghost so I can be a part of this club. But I don't want that fire, because that fire will leave me alone. That fire will burn out impurities. You can't have discord and have fire. You can't have hard feelings and have fire. You can't be an unforgiving spirit and have fire. When the fire comes, it comes as a refiner. It comes as a purifier. It comes to separate. And if you don't say amen, it's still amen time. He comes. How many's got the Holy Ghost? Ooh, look at us. How many's got the fire? Oh, not as many hands. Well, now what is going on here? What is going on at Keene Mountain that you can... I'm going to come out there and preach among you. What can be going on in a good church like this that you claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't let the fire work? What could be? How can that be? How can you say it if Jesus is your baptizer? And John said when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. When you pass through it, and Job said, and when this is all over, I'll come out of this like gold tried in the fire. Oh, it's a fiery time, Pastor. And I know your feet's getting hot and everything else is heating up around you. But gold passing through the fire is more pure, of more value. I don't know a whole lot about it. The other day I had a guy demonstrate it to me. One of my men in the church had his father, stepfather, died, and he was taking some stuff that he thought was gold and thought was precious. And we took it to this guy, and it looked gold. It looked gold. That chain that little clock was hanging on looked gold. You know what he done? He reached over and got a magnet. Held the magnet close to the chain. The chain leaped to it. He said, not gold. And when you walk close to sin and you are pulled, drawn to it, not gold. Something's hiding under the plating. Something is not pure. Something is not right. You're not helping me preach. He said, Brother Benny, you're not my pastor. You can't tell me what I do. I absolutely know that. but I'm your pastor for a week, and I'm going to either pastor you or pester you. Either way, we're going to go somewhere. When you feel attracted and it pulls you, you're not pure. Blessed are the what kind of heart? What kind of heart? How you going to get there if you don't have the fire? How you going to get rid of it if the fire is not falling? How can you go on without God's approval? How can you make it another week with God not approving you? How can you sit there claiming the Holy Ghost and never speak in tongues, never get a burden, never have a song break out in your heart? I tell you, it's time that we come back to God wholeheartedly. Let me read you some more. Acts. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hear it? The fire came first before the tongues. It's always the fire before the rain.
Fire before the rain.
A lot of folks don't believe in old time sanctification. They don't believe in it at all. They skip over it. They want to get saved and get right to it, right to the baptism. They want to get right to it. And then they start talking in tongues and live like the devil. The Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 12, it tells us a great story. I love it because the Holy Ghost can't be wrong, can he?
No.
Listen to this little reading. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But notice the next verse. Whereof. Now where does that whereof fit, Brother Charles? What does that whereof mean? He's talking about sanctification, and it says whereof. It's sanctification, and then whereof. Whereof. The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. But there that verse teaches that whereof is when you get good and sanctified, you'll get the Holy Ghost as a witness to your sanctification. First the fire of purifying, and then the rain of blessing. Now, I cannot make you do anything, and I refuse to try to do that. Because that's not my job. That's the Lord. If he loves you, he's right now working on you. If you can sit here and not feel anything, that's because you're fatherless. There's another word for it. I refrain from using it. I'll just use fatherless. If you are not receiving now a feeling in your heart like, God, I've got to make up some stuff here. I've got to get this fire burning again on my altar. Isn't it strange that those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they're so full of doubt and so full of fear. Isn't it strange that they talk to the Lord and don't even know him? And then they get to that house and all of a sudden they notice two things. The Lord's gone and they have a burning heart. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the Lord has said. all that the prophets have preached. And he preached, I'd love to have heard that message. I could have learned a lot about preaching if I could have just heard that one message he preached there. But I didn't get to hear it. But I do know the effect of it. They left with a burning heart. And the first thing they done when they got a burning heart is ran back to the same kind of doubting people and said, it's true, he's alive. It's true, he's alive. A burning heart will make you say amen to the truth. The burning heart will get you up and make you run to somebody and tell them he's alive. Israel, is not this the God that you knew was in your history? The God that answers by fire and that had to say amen from the beginning. That's the God. Our New Testament, since we wasn't in the old, says our God is a consuming fire. He gets into a heart and he can mend it. He can weld it. He can make it new again. He gets into a situation where you're going to get feelings. He can take that fire and burn them out until you find yourself praying for him instead of cursing them. God's going to get even with you for treating me that way. You would jump to the magnet. You would leap to it. Sometimes I wish I had one. Just for one service. Just for one service. I wouldn't want it all the time. I would just love to have it and walk down the aisles of Dryden Road and just see what I collected before I got down at the end. Just see who all was not what they said they were. But it's not any of my business. That's God's business. And he's walking here tonight. And you have got nothing hid from him. But what if the rapture was to happen? Can I use that word here? What if the rapture was to happen? What if the catching away was to come? And you tried to get to heaven with that stuff just gold plated. What would happen if the trumpet sounded and you tried to respond to it gold plated, but not pure gold? So tonight I am asking you, beseeching you as a man of God, as one that loves Keen Mountain. And not your enemy. I don't speak bad of you. In fact, I thank God for Robert who gave me Amanda. And he's not getting her back. I'm keeping her. She's mine, Robert. She loves me. She does what I tell her to do. She is a good girl. Got any more? That's it. That one. When you run a magnet by her, it has no attraction. None. Don't even make it jiggle. Nothing in there. The magnet's passing by, Pastor. The magnet's passing by. Be steady in the Lord. Don't let it faze you. It's coming by. Don't let anything jump at it. Hold on. You'll be better after a while. He will answer by fire. And then the rain will come. Then the rain will come. Keen Mountain, are you interested in revival? I want you to start by coming up here at this altar, getting rid of all pretense. Pass your life under the magnet of the Holy Ghost. See if there's anything that he would show you that you need to fix. For we desperately need revival. Desperately need revival. We can't make it another week without the Holy Ghost controlling us. We've got to have the help of the Lord. And the only one that's going to help us is the Holy Ghost. How many will stand and then take that step out up here to this altar and say to God, I'm coming for you to search me and try me and know me and see if there's anything in me that I need to let the fire burn out. Who will come? Don't come and ask about somebody else. Come only to seek your own. Come and say to the Lord, I want to be pure in your sight.